This is the Freedom Fiends, and we do not suffer from mission creep. We're just creeps on a mission. What's up? This is Michael Dean, the shiny, strong hamster. No, the iron hamster. And we got Lusander Fiend, the Ferris. No, the iron meerkat. Is that you?
I am the titanium meerkat.
I can't remember.
And the Freedom Fiends are powered by DSL.
We are. Yeah, we're both connecting to the world via DSL, which, you know, actually, it's not unheard of for organizations to go back to old technology to stay relevant. I've heard that actually the U.S. Department of Defense, or maybe it's the Army, still has a bunch of, like, tube-powered radios for communication. Because they would work after an EMP, whereas integrated circuit radio transmission devices would not.
Well, they only throw out valuable stuff.
Yeah, they also destroy valuable stuff. I heard someone talking on Free Talk Live the other day about how there was some guy, it was a caller who'd been in the Army and the U.S. Army, and said he was in the Middle East. And at some point when they were bugging out of somewhere, they destroyed, like, two shipping containers full of bottled water because it could get into enemy hands.
Well, they also destroy vehicles, equipment, all sorts of things in a bug out situation like that. It's called blown in place.
Have you done it? Have you taken part in that?
I don't remember. I'm not sure. It could be technicalities. Hey, I just want to say hi, comrade. Because I'm in the People's Republic of Detroit in the United Socialist States of America.
Wow. I'm not. I'm in Wyoming. It's kind of I'm in a windowless bunker, which is sort of a sovereign. It's not sovereign, but it's, I don't know. I feel pretty free right now.
I'm hoping I could pull the whole show off. I believe that the government has given me the proper allotment of internets that I will need just in case I did buy some extra internets on the black market.
I know. You know, they'd like it to work that way. And I think that would be the end result of net neutrality, is that, you know, like, you could still do your I don't like the government radio show on government controlled airwaves. But you wouldn't be able to spend the hour before the show watching House of Cards on Netflix, because that would use up all of the internets you'd need to do your show.
Well, I just 3D printed a new ration card.
Yeah, I saw something today from Cody Wilson that looks like, man, that guy just gets more subversive every day. Did you see the thing he sent out today?
No, I didn't, but I already like it.
There you go. I don't even need to say what it is. It's something the government won't like. Yeah, Cody Wilson came out with something. I don't know what it is, but I approve of it. I like it.
Hey, if it rustles the jimmies, I'm a happy bunny.
Yeah, I did an interview tonight with Brian Mikan. Do you know?
I listened to that. Yeah. I listened to that. Did you get your profanity-laden rants out of the way?
I did, man. I did about 6 months' worth of cussing in a half hour. It was pretty fun, and it's up on the Freedom Fiend site. He's a pro poker player. He's like, I don't know, 75th best poker player in the world or something, which, you know, that kind of sounds lame to some people, but it's awesome. It's incredible. I mean, if you were the 75th strongest man in the world, you'd be like the strongest man in Wyoming or something for sure. You know, I mean, he's a pretty bad dude in poker. You know, he walks out of games with $120,000 in cash and carries a gun to protect himself. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I hope he carries a gun to protect himself, whether he has the money or not.
Well, most of them don't. He was making a point about that. But, he's one of those, like, I dig him, and he's funny, and he's fun, and he's smart, and he's, like, completely not the kind of conversation I usually have on podcasts and radio. It's kind of like, I don't know. Well, put it this way. We both co-sign each other a lot in that last time I was on there, he was like, what are you doing? What are you doing these days? My old Dean, I'm working with this guy named Derek on this thing called .meowbit. It's for .bit domains, and we're raising money to do it. And he's like, cool, I'm in. And then he like says to his assistant, like, send Michael Dean $50 worth of Bitcoin. All right, done. Next. Now tell me what it is.
Oh my God.
I need more friends like that.
.bit is like so 2 months ago.
Yeah, but you know, it's technology that'll still work when the .commies go down.
as long as there's something in place.
Freedomfiends.bit still works on the new, we made sure to set that up on the new server. It's there.
Okay. And this is going to be something that once Obama, the dirty socialist and his feet stank, once he pulls the internet kill switch and shuts down all the internets.
No. President Hillary Clinton's going to do that. No, Obama.
Or President Ran W. Obama.
No, Obama just laid the groundwork. He's not the, it's kind of like in the Bible, there's the Antichrist and then there's the beast. They're two different things and one comes before the other.
Well, it's like this. When you look at all the tyranny that's been laid down, because there was stuff that happened under Reagan and then Bush, which was basically Reagan anyway.
And under Caesar, yeah.
And then Bill Clinton, and then George W. Bush, and now Obama, and next up Hillary Rand, but I repeat myself. I wonder if they start to say, you know what, we've been laying all this groundwork, and darn it, we want to inflict some real tyranny. Who's going to get the privilege of doing that?
Probably Rand Paul.
Yeah. It's really amazing the way that the libertarian-ish folks, the mini-status, they say, oh, well, Rand, he's just saying what he has to get the votes of the neocons and the conservative Republicans. He's one of us. How do they know that he's not just pulling their chain and telling them what they want to hear?
Or they'll use him as a useful idiot and get him elected and then say, yeah, man, go ahead, do what you said you were going to do, streamline the government. And then the next president will be like, oh, right, I have this really streamlined turnkey tyranny situation here. It doesn't have as much waste as it did before.
It is so much more efficient at extorting and taxing and killing and beating and maiming and God.
Yeah. So. Rand Paul could really, you know, it's funny, like one of the people that Obama went after criminally, you know how he's gone after, like he said, we'll have the most open administration ever. And then he's actually like criminally gone after more whistleblowers than any other president. I think than all of them combined. But one of the people he went after, the whistleblowing that the guy did, the guy worked at the NSA and said, the NSA is using an extremely inefficient method for spying on people's emails, and we were offered a much more efficient way of doing it, and they turned it down because, you know, somebody knew somebody who owned the company that was doing the inefficient way. And Obama, like, is prosecuting that guy criminally. Like, basically, he's even going after people who are trying to make it more efficient. Now, if you get
Rand Paul
in
there. That's not Snowden, was it?
No, it wasn't Snowden. It was like, it was a square, I love America, and the NSA is great guy working at the NSA who tried to.
Was it Benny or Drake?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah, one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to fact check.
Well, you know, I talked last night about how Pinochet in Chile employed Chicago School laissez-faire economists who'd studied in the classroom under Milton Friedman as advisors. Although he didn't really take that much of their advice, but he did actually have a group of 100 of them called the Chicago Boys. So, you know, there's really only been two times in modern history where laissez-faire economics have been implemented by a whole country. That was one time, but it wasn't really implemented. And then there was Ronald Reagan had an advisor that was one of those people, but he didn't really do, you know, he watered it down to Reaganomics, which was, what was it? I think it was the rich people, it's trickle down. It was the rich people peeing on the poor people, I think is how I heard it.
Yeah, there is no laissez-faire with government.
I know.
It's just a varying degree of statism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all this stuff. The free market has failed. What free market?
I know. So I got something I want to tell people to go check out and bookmark and look at frequently. It's a site called the Daily. It's dailyancap.com, DAILYANCAP.com. And it's been around for a couple of years. I actually helped the guy set it up a little bit and then forgot about it for 2 years and then looked at it today and was like, you know, some of these websites you got in here are like 404 and some of them are people that no one likes anymore and thinks are tyrants. And so we did some house cleaning on it today and got it all working great and fine and fancy. It's dailyancap.com and it's basically an aggregator page for a bunch of really cool liberty media. You know, basically it's one page. You know, you can scroll down it with three scrolls, and it's just got like the RSS feeds for like 40 of the best Liberty podcasts, blogs, and YouTube channels. And it just shows like the five latest, you know, text with like links to the five latest posts of each one of them. It's pretty cool. The Freedom Fiends are on there, of course, but it's got a bunch of great stuff.
Yeah. Back when I used to write the blog posts a couple of years ago, I used to get a lot of shares off of there.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where a lot of the sharing and moving around came from.
Hmm.
So yeah, I was always excited about that. It's a great little site, and you know, you can go on there and find all your favorites, and even find some new stuff that will be your favorites later. At least favorite behind the Freedom Fiends. You there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I forgot. This mic has a switch on it. I turned it off. That ain't good.
Oh, I'm used to you interrupting me and rambling.
I'm actually trying to like write Mike back. Mike's emailing me during the show, so I'm instead of typing him during the show, I'll just do it over the show. Yes, if you sell your paperback book on Amazon, it's against the rules to use your own affiliate link to earn money plus royalties. But I've heard of people. I don't do it, but I've heard of people doing it and getting away with it. I don't know. I'm doing a show, man. I'll just answer my emails over the radio every night. That'd be fun, man. That'd be really fun. I get about 100 emails a day. It would take the whole show.
Well, I have an email that I would like to answer. Okay, no, I don't want to buy your pills to enlarge my
deficit.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a big deficit you have. All right. So, yeah, we're not on mission creep. We're just some creeps on a mission. So what's the next order of business? We got two minutes here. Go ahead.
Speaking of those emails, I am really proud of the government because
me too.
11 years ago, they outlawed spam email and telemarketing phone calls. And now I have these wonderful spam folders that are always full. Wow. I hope they handled national security and ISIS just as efficiently as they handle this.
Aren't those three things all connected somehow? I think instead of a gold standard, ISIS is on a spam standard. They're probably like making their money off Nigerian money scam with enlarge your something pills. All right, here we go.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Yeah. Yo, yo. Yo, is this thing on? Yo.
Yo, yo.
So, Lou.
Yo.
Meow.
Comrade Michael.
Meow. Meow.
So, during the break, I emailed the guy whose email I answered on the phone, on the radio, and said, I answered on the radio. Are you listening? And he says, no, I'm listening to your interview with Brian Mike on from earlier tonight. So, I guess I'm just going to have to email him later and say, well, listen to tonight's episode when it's up. So, yeah, I got the idea for that from watching 30 Rock. There's an episode where they go to somewhere in Arkansas or somewhere Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia, to find a new comic for the show. And they go to this redneck comedy club called the Chuckle Hut. And they're in the hotel watching the local news, and it's like, you know, newscasters doing the weather and the news. And then one of them says, and Bill would like to tell Sally that Bill's going out of town for the weekend and hopes that Sally can go over and water his plants and water and feed his cat. And Liz Lemon says, like, man, this local news is really local.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to why he was listening to the interview, which was previously recorded, and not listening to the Fiends while the Fiends are live. Was he expecting you to answer his question in the interview?
No, I don't think so. Well, he's a dealer, a card dealer at a casino. So I think he'd be interested in what a professional poker player has to say.
Yeah, but if he doesn't expect you to answer his question on that interview there instead of the live radio show,
I don't know. I think he expected me to do what I usually do, which is answer an email.
Oh, okay. I guess that is one of the options that is available to everybody. Silly me.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you got? What you got? You want to talk about chickens? There ain't no one here but us chickens.
I really, really, really hate to bring up tyranny, but
if you must.
Tyranny has come to Michigan.
No. It hasn't. Tell me it's not true. Now, you're
gonna it never left.
You know, I hate to say anything nice about Michael Moore, but Michael Moore actually was one of the first people to really hit me to the idea that cops arrest people for stupid things that shouldn't be crimes. And I believe it was in Michigan. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but you're probably right.
The movie Roger and Me, which is about...
I saw that like a long, long, long time ago. I saw that on like VHS when Beta was one of the other options.
Yeah, it's a movie about, you know, the auto. It's kind of complaining about capitalism, or thinks it is, but it's really complaining about corporatism. And it's talking about what's the town outside of Detroit that was kind of like
Flint.
Flint, yeah, it was like the economic depression in Flint because it was a one business town and the business went elsewhere. And one of the things was there was a lady who it was a segment in the movie called Pets or Food, and it was basically a lady who was raising rabbits to sell as food. And the police hassled her about it and said she didn't have a permit for it. So she changed the sign. It said pet rabbits for sale, but people were buying them for food.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And Flint hasn't gotten any better. As a matter of fact, in many ways, it's worse than Detroit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another socialist paradise. But
so
anyway.
What happened in Michigan? Tell me.
Okay. A couple was arrested for owning chickens.
See, they need to put pets on them and put a sign that says pets.
Yeah, I don't even think the pet enforcement would let that slide.
It was just owning chickens without a permit from the king.
Yeah, basically that's what it was. The family received a letter from the city saying, hey, you can't have chickens because that's blight or something like that. And we have rules here. You know, we set the rules for your property. And if you think you really own it, well, you need to move to Somalia where they don't have
Ebola chickens.
Yeah. So anyway, the goons came in and they cuffed them and stuffed them and took them away. And let's see now. The lady, Teresa Hurst, says, never been to jail, never been booked. I felt so humiliated. We were not granted due process. We needed an explanation about why we couldn't keep chickens. And the news station that did this report tried to reach out to folks at City Hall. And what was their response? They didn't have a response.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of that. Explain that four-part meme you were sending out today. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do visual humor on the radio as a parenthetical within this story. Go ahead.
Okay. Envision if you will, but not if you're driving, folks in Cairo.
Do it quick.
Okay, you got a guy running up, smacking somebody in the back of the head. He's the government. The guy that got smacked in the back of the head gets mad and chases after him. That's called protest. The guy called government stands behind a cop, and that's called, I can't remember what it was, but it's basically an illustration of how government works.
Yep.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Your time.
No, do it now.
No.
We'll do it live. F it.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
That was a cat being catapulted. Don't try this at home.
Four-way tornado siren.
What's that?
Well, you grab a cat by the tail and swing it around.
Oh, come on, man. None of the cat abuse, even joking. Only I get to do that.
I know when I do that, you become catatonic.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
What are you going to do if I tell more bad jokes? You going to punish me?
I'm probably going to get Ebola if you don't cut it out. All right, what's on your mind, sir?
Okay.
Chicken? Come on, you chicken.
Yeah, we're still talking about the chicken, folks.
You are.
So anyway, this couple was keeping chickens in their backyard, and the city sent them a letter, and it appears that they tried to get a hold of the city and got stonewalled, and then eventually goons with guns showed up, because apparently somebody at City Hall got their feathers ruffled over mere mortal humans owning chickens. So anyway, they had to post bail, and they were embarrassed, and they felt bad, and hopefully they didn't feel guilty like they had actually violated, you know, a real law or something like that. You know, and it appears that they feel that it was just a nuisance, the goons just flexing their muscles and picking on people. You know, and instead of going after, like, gangbangers, cartel members, ISIS, or other cops, you know, really dangerous people, they decide to go after a nice couple that raises chickens. So anyway, TV5, the station that reports this, they tried to talk to the folks at City Hall, but no one was available. Then they called the attorney that is handling the matter on behalf of the city, and that attorney was not available either. So they did what any, you know, normal scared person would do, or people, and they removed the chickens because they were skeptical about what tricks they'd pull next. We can't afford to post more bail. And that's the thing about our justice system. You keep putting money in until you run out.
Wait, who's you got a mouse in your pocket? It ain't my justice system. It's just foisted on me.
Okay, the just us system.
There you go.
You keep putting money into it until you run out, and then you just hope for the best. You know, it's, hey, hope is a strategy. But anyway, stand up for these people. And you know what? In these chickens, if you're not willing to stand behind those chickens, then you can just stand right in front of them because you hate America.
And you're a chicken if you don't. You know, I got to say, I don't know if Los Angeles is still like this, but Los Angeles has chickens. It's pretty cool. There's a burrito joint on every corner, but more than that, there are people in that city, like in the city, who have chickens. Largely Mexican people, but not only Mexican people. But one of my first experiences, like I moved to LA from San Francisco. I bought, and nobody's got chickens in San Francisco, and there is a burrito place on every corner. But in LA, my first week there, I bought a 1966 Plymouth Barracuda, which was a really cool, weird car to have. It kind of looks like the Batmobile. It's got a big bubble back window like a fishbowl. That's a car you should not own unless you're a mechanic, and I'm not a mechanic. I sold it after about a year. It was, you know, basically all the original parts broke down in the year I had it, and I had to replace them all. And the first time something broke down, you know, I went to AutoZone or something like that, and they looked it up. They're like, we don't have that. And, you know, a couple of the guys were on the counter discussing it. And the woman that worked in the back, I think she was the accountant or something. She was Mexican-American. And she, like, followed me to the door and said, you know, in broken English, oh, if you want a part for that car, here's a phone number. And she wrote down a phone number and handed it to me. I called it up. There's, like, hip-hop music blasting in the background, and they, you know, give me the directions. They had to do it like, or the address. They had to do it like four times. I couldn't understand what they were saying because they were playing hip-hop. And I go to this place. It's in East LA, and I think it was a chop shop. I really think it was a, you know, I think they were taking stolen cars there and recycling them, you know, underground. But I swear, I walked into this auto shop. There is a rooster walking down the counter in this place of business, and nobody was paying no mind. It was like, oh, you know, like as if they had a dog or something, you know, it was a rooster on the counter, and they had the part for my 66 Plymouth Barracuda, and they sold it to me, and, you know, like put the money in a cigar box. They didn't have a cash register, and they, like, you know, dropped the part in an unmarked paper bag, like it was whiskey or something. And it was pretty cool, man. That was my introduction to LA.
Was it like a McDonald's bag from their lunch earlier?
No, it's just an unmarked brown bag.
Yeah. Roosters for pets, because parakeets are just lame.
They really are.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, Detroit, they're very restrictive on keeping chickens and goats and all those other cute little critters that are beneficial for, you know, food and getting rid of bugs
waking
and pests.
You up,
and,
waking you up in the city at dawn. Yeah.
Well, actually, the roosters are the only ones that crow. The chickens, they'll make a little bit of noise, but they won't wake you up. So, but anyway, yeah. And this appears to just be the city. This isn't the Department of Fish and Hogs expanding out into chickens. So this just happens to be the city.
It's not mission creep. It's just creeps on a mission.
Of course.
And that's the title of the episode tonight.
Yeah. So because some central planners got out there and declared thou shalt not have chickens, and they cry foul every time somebody does it.
Come on, man. You're killing me.
So anyway, these people have been turned into outlaws.
That's so square. But you know what? I guess the silver lining might be once that everybody has been severely hassled for a misdemeanor, maybe the whole country will be anarchists.
I certainly hope so. Now, going back to last Sunday's episode, I believe it was with you, Chandler, and Ben, what is the definition of an outlaw?
Yeah, originally in old Germanic law, it was today it's generally someone who lives outside the law. In the old days, it was someone who was kicked out of protection by the law. It was basically an old Germanic law. They did not have the death penalty, but if you did something they really didn't like, they would declare you an outlaw, which meant it was legal to kill you.
Okay, so kind of like the Missouri governor did to the Mormons on October 27th of 1838.
Is that today? Is it the anniversary?
No.
I don't know what day it is, man. Why?
Okay. Maybe you've heard about this in the past. I'm sure Randy knows about this. Missouri Executive Order 44, also known as the Extermination Order in Latter-day Saint history, was an executive order issued on October 27th, 1838 by the governor of Missouri, Lilburn Boggs. It was issued in the aftermath of the Battle of Crooked River, a clash between Mormons and a unit of the Missouri State Guard in northern Ray County, Missouri, during the 1838 Mormon War. Claiming that Mormons had committed open and avowed defiance of the laws and had made war upon the people of the state, Boggs directed that the Mormons must be treated as enemies and must be exterminated or driven from the state if necessary for the public peace.
Wait, their outrage- so exterminate is the first choice and kick them out of the state is the second choice?
Yeah, if we can't kill you, you can move to Somalia.
it's interesting because there's no escalation of force there. Usually you'd think they'd say, get out of the state, and if you don't, we'll kill you. But no, it was, we'll kill you, and if we don't get around to it, we'll drive you out of the state.
Yeah, so anyway, government doing what it does best, it sends out extermination order. So when you say you want to get back to the Constitution, when you say that you want to get back to when things were better, you know, before 1913 when the Fed, New World Order, Lizard People, Illuminati took over and made everything bad, this is what it was like in 1838. Yeah. But anyway, in 1976, citing the unconstitutional nature of Boggs' directive, Missouri Governor Kip Bond formally rescinded it. Hey, way to get right on that, guys.
Yeah, I don't know if people want to get back to when things were good. You know, there's a really common saying among small government people in America, which is the answer to 1984 is 1776. I mean, I think that's even one of Jim's joke cards in his Libertarians Against Humanity deck, which we're going to play later. But here's the thing. You know, when people say that, I think they're saying if you don't quit spying on us and pushing us around, we're going to start shooting like they did back then. Is that what you'd get from that?
That's a possibility, but most likely since they're all bayonet polishers and you know, they scream about when Christians are killed and churches are burned in the Middle East, but they're really quiet when Christians are murdered and churches are burned in Waco, Texas. I think basically, if they get pushed far enough, they're probably going to march around outside the march around outside their representative's office and wave their flag.
Good, because then that really is an apt slogan for them. Because if they're saying, if you push us too far, we're going to start shooting, they should be saying the answer to 1984 is 1775. Because the shootings, the Revolutionary War started in April of 1775. In 1776, of course, the war was still going on, but basically what that was the Declaration of Independence. So basically they're saying, if you keep pushing us around, we'll have to sit down and write things down on paper.
We're going to vote harder, darn it. Yeah, we're going to get the right people in charge. Yeah, but interestingly enough, in spite of 1776, 1984 still happened. And I believe it's largely in part to 1789.
Do tell.
Oh, that was when the constitutional coup was basically ratified. It was all completely done in like 1791, but 1789 was when it was mostly adopted by most of the states.
You know, a lot of bayonet polishers don't even know what year the Constitution was signed in or ratified in, and they think it was 1776.
Yeah.
No, that was the Declaration of Independence, which actually, as things scribbled down on paper go, that's my favorite. Bill Buport, which is really, Bill Buport's like more of a history learned, you know, no government man than I am, to the point where his website is zerogov.com. But he always likes to talk about the Articles of Confederation. But I really, my favorite American document, if there's going to be one, is the Declaration of Independence. It's basically a Dear John letter to tyranny. And it doesn't even really talk much about setting up, you know, a new tyranny. It's just, we're done with you, King George. Go away. Get out of my hair.
Yeah, it's a Dear George letter.
Dear George letter.
You know, it's really amazing that the Constitution was, they venerate and they adore and they love and they worship the Constitution. As a matter of fact, the leader of the Campaign for a Tiny Bit More Liberty.
What does that mean? Say what that is.
That's Campaign for Liberty, also known as Campaign for a Longer Leash. I'll tell you about when we come back.
Cool, man. I look forward to it, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. So what were you saying about homeschooling and how cool it is, Lou?
Yeah, one of the things that people say about homeschooling is, well, how will the kids learn to socialize? Versus, you know, how will they get socialized without going to a government school? There's a lot of these different groups that get together. You have secular homeschooling or home education groups and unschooling groups, and you also have the Christian ones. And they get together and they have activities, chess clubs, sports, things like that. So it's not like people are locking their children in a basement to keep them away from all the evils and sinners and statocrats of the world. So
it's kind of interesting. There are a few groups of people, types of people or common interests of people that are very adamantly into homeschooling. One is usually Christians who don't want the secular schooling of the public schools, and then one is like agnostic libertarians who don't want the church of the state indoctrinating their kids. And they can get along at events like the Free Rangers at free-rangers.org if you want to check that out.
Yes, do check it out. And that's where most of the participants came from. Hey, what was the third group? You said there were three groups.
My sister was an avid homeschooler and worked with other parents who were homeschoolers. My sister is a licensed teacher. She has actually taught in, I don't ever think public schools, but some private schools when I was a kid. And I guess the third group would be hippies.
Okay. There is a fourth group.
What's that?
And that's people that think that the government schools just aren't statist enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a fifth group too, which would be people who think the government schools aren't good enough and want to have a higher quality education, although a lot of those people send their kids to a private school or a Montessori or something.
Yeah. There was a girl, I think it was in Mordor on the Potomac.
D.C. D.C.
Yeah, she got expelled for missing too many classes. And her parents tried to arrange the absences and have them excused and everything else, because it turns out that she was traveling around the world as a 12-year-old and playing piano for heads of state and at these major performances and all this other stuff. And she was just like this absolute virtuoso. She's like 12 years old. And they're like, I'm sorry, but policy is policy.
Yeah, I would recommend people check out the book Possum Living: How to Live Well Without a Job and Almost No Money by Dolly Freed, DollyFreed. That is my buddy's sister, my buddy from boarding school. His sister wrote that book, and she's the one I mentioned the other day who dropped out of, I think it was like, you know, eighth or ninth grade, and had her dad homeschool her and ended up being a rocket scientist at NASA. without a high school education. This book was written in, God, it was in the 70s. The latest version is from the year 2010. This book has actually had a resurgence because, this is like in the 70s, not only weren't like prepper websites, there were barely like a prepper movement or an off-the-grid movement. I mean, there was a hippie off-the-grid movement, but she wasn't really a hippie. And, you know, it says in this book how she dropped out of school, and it was kind of funny. Because I don't think this would work now. I think there's too much, state bot robots following everyone around everywhere some way or another. But she and her dad, they lived in Pennsylvania, and she and her dad went into her high school one day and said they were moving to California. And, you know, they wanted to take her out of the school because she was going to go to school in California. And she hugged all of her friends and had tearful goodbyes with them. And they just never left town.
Yeah, I don't know if you could get away with that. And
I'll link I'll link Possum Living in the show notes tonight. It's a good book.
Okay. Is there a PDF version of it? And if I'm using DSL, will I be able to download it?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know if it was ever released as one. She does have a website, though. I'll find that.
Hey, something else. Do you think that truant officers are enforcing a modern-day Fugitive Slave Act?
Ooh, I've never heard that. Did you just make that up?
It's been bouncing around my little pea brain for a while, but...
I like it.
Yeah.
That's going in the show notes. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends. It's going to have no tyranny. It's going to be all fun. We're going to play some Cards Against Humanity, libertarian style. And we are going to... What's the other game we're going to play?
Is it real or is it fake?
Is it real or is it The Onion? Yeah, headlines, and I have to guess. And we've discussed it. Doing some vocal checks here, checking my compression. It works, but not when I'm that loud. But I never get that loud, really, so it doesn't really matter.
I only get that loud while I'm talking about chickens.
Yeah, I know. They're pretty sexy. So my cat, Charlie, keeps trying to go outside and because, you know, it was summer a few weeks ago. But it's 37 degrees out, and I told her, Charlie, it's cat cracking cold. You're not going out there. But she's trying to go out there. I won't let her, though.
I bet I know what her response was.
Meow, 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 meow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a cat of few words.
You know, I've invented something that's pretty cool. And I'm not trying to, like, say, hey, make sure I get credit for this in the grand scheme of things. But I just think it's kind of neat when something that comes out of my mouth catches on. And the thing that's catching on is my spelling of ANCAP. Or my delineation of ANCAP for anarcho-capitalist. Before I started doing it in camel case, which is capital A, small n, capital C, small ap, all one word, I always saw it as all small letters, A-N, space, or dash, C-A-P. And a couple years ago, I started doing it as camel case because it made sense to me. It just looked like, I don't know, the name of a software program or the name of a corporation or something. So I did it as capital A, small n, capital C, small AP, ANCAP. And more, I'm seeing people I don't even know write it that way. So I built that, man.
Well, that's how I've always done it.
Yeah, you got it from me.
Well, maybe they got it from me.
No, you got it from me, man.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm not doing this right now.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. You know why?
Why?
because it's time for Is It Real or Is It The Onion?
Well, that could have been Is It Real or Is It The Onion. But Michael Dean honored at the Anarchy Olympics for maintaining his amateur status and coming up with the Cavalcade spelling of ANCAP. Real or The Onion?
Well, right before we came back, I was telling you that I heard on the news brief that California is California is banning single use grocery bags.
No tyranny.
And you said no tyranny versus is that real or is that The Onion? You didn't bother to say that.
Oh, is that real or is it The Onion?
Oh, it's real.
I thought they banned that years ago.
No, I don't think so. I think they banned single use plastic guns.
How about California is passing a bill that will enable you to it's real. Yeah, you had me at California is passing a tyrannical bill that'll make it so you can turn in your neighbors and say they're crazy and get their guns taken away automatically.
Oh, that's already a requirement.
Yeah. I liked your statement about Cody Wilson when I said Cody Wilson's come out with a new and you interrupted and said, I approve of that.
Hey, Sturgis. Hey, Sundance. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to freedomfiends.com, catch the first hour, call your radio station, demand the first hour.
Well, anyway. I was going to say they're already lit, but yeah, they don't get the first hour there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a rule in northwestern Wyoming and southeastern South Dakota that they can only have 1 hour of True Liberty Media per day on a radio station.
They have a ration card. Go to the black market guy and buy an extra hour of it. Or go to freedomfiends.com and get it for free.
There you go. So anyway, let's play. Now explain what The Onion is for the people in the cheap seats.
The Onion is a satire website that takes real news and stretches the truth and blows it out of proportion. Or it just makes stuff up wholesale, which sometimes the real news does that too.
You know, there's another site that's kind of like The Onion. What's it called?
There's a few. You have the Daily Current, which is the one that punked everybody with that Holder takes $77 million deal.
But I knew that was fake.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones from them was during the Chris Dorner thing when they said that the LAPD shot up a mariachi band while looking for Chris Dorner.
That site actually punked a really small town in Wyoming a few years ago. I don't remember what town it was, but it's a real town in Wyoming with a population of about 300, which, believe it or not, actually makes it probably one of the more populated towns in Wyoming if you had a list of all of them. And they said that there was a school there that was requiring children to get embedded microchip RFID chips. And that was absolutely not true. And no school is doing that. There are some schools that are requiring the kids to have them in like their backpacks or something, but
in their student IDs.
Yeah. But, they're not chipping kids like pets in Wyoming, but that was something that was in the Daily Current. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. That got, I mean, every prepper site, every bayonet polishing,
anti-New World Order, colloidal uranium gargling.
Yeah. Every one of those sites. I mean, I remember reading it and going, is this true? This sounds bizarre, because I didn't know. I saw it on the Daily Current, and I didn't know it was a fake news site. So I Googled the headline, something like Wyoming town microchipping children or school children. And I put it in quotes and searched it, and I got like 1,000 hits on Google like 2 days after it came out. And they were all, it was like 1,000 gun blogs and prepper blogs. And then I went to the source, the Daily Current, and read some other articles on it. I was like, wait, this is like an Onion kind of site. And it actually said like in their bio somewhere on it that it was parody.
Yeah. Empire News is the same way too. They recently had one that had everybody going. It says, Betty White dies peacefully at the age of 92 at home in Los Angeles. And they spelled it D-Y-E-S, meaning that she was dying her hair. And oh my God, everybody was going nuts. They're like, Betty White died again?
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
All right. So let's play some Is It Real or Is It The Onion? Lay it on me, brother.
Okay. First one, Christian zealot blames atheism for rise of terrorist groups.
I'd say it's real.
It is. The Family Research Council's Tony Perkins said today that the separation of church and state in the United States has contributed to the rise of Islamic extremist groups like ISIS, arguing in his radio commentary that ISIS has filled the void left by secularism. So atheism leads to belief in religion.
You know, separation of church and state is not in the Constitution. I mean, it tacitly is in the First Amendment, saying that Congress shall make no law regarding religion. But the phrase separation of church and state came up later, and it wasn't law. It wasn't a founding document or anything. It's kind of become law, but it's kind of not in the – it's definitely not in the Constitution.
There are numerous founding lawyers, to include John Adams, who was a complete religious zealot, that say that America is not a Christian nation.
Yeah. And Thomas Jefferson owned a Koran.
Yeah. But to all that stuff, I say, how can a nation have a religion? A nation is not a person. Only individuals have religions. Okay, up next. Congressman embroiled in sexting scandal explains, I wanted that girl to see my penis.
It's either not real, or if it is real, it's not recent.
Okay, that is from The Onion.
There you go. It's not real. I think I'm pretty good at this game, actually.
But that could be Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it's not recent. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to put you to the test on this.
All right.
U.S. assures Hong Kong that their protest just the U.S. assures Hong Kong that their protest is just one of many issues that the White House will be staying silent on.
Read it again.
U.S. assures Hong Kong that their protest, just one of many issues White House staying silent on. Because they are demanding democracy there.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of the actual policy of the White House, but I don't think they said it. So I think it's The Onion.
It is The Onion.
I'm good at this, man.
And if the people of Hong Kong want democracy, in the words of Admiral Akbar from Return of the Jedi, it's a trap.
Well,
don't do it.
The United States is not going to help bring Hong Kong democracy or get involved, because Hong Kong doesn't have oil and they do have a pretty major army. So the U.S. isn't going to mess with that.
And the B-52s are currently busy. Yeah. Okay. This one's an easy one. ICE is having difficulty finding American recruits physically fit for jihad.
That's The Onion.
That is The Onion, but it's also kind of true. There's a lot of fatties out there. All right, here comes the real test. 920 chickens beaten to death with golf club at California farm.
I believe that happened.
Wow, you are good. And this comes from Fox News. The gruesome scene was discovered September 20th at Foster Farms Chicken Shed in Fresno. Authorities believe at least one person broke into the farm. It could be less than one person, but anyway, and slaughtered 920 chickens. Whoever did this is pretty sick, Deputy Chris Curtis told the Los Angeles Times. It would take a long time to do it. I wonder if it would take so long that a police officer on patrol to protect property might have stumbled across it. Oh, wait. They were code enforcing and revenue generating. Anyway,
I wonder if that was a disgruntled employee. I'm trying to think, what in the world would be someone's motivation to do that?
Well, it's probably an animal rights activist opposed to farming.
I kind of thought about that, too, but it'd be like the extremist of extreme animal rights people to go in and beat the chickens to death to make a point, unless it was to do that and then try to make it a false flag and say that the chicken farm did it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, police believe the intruder or intruders gained entry to the farm after bending back the protective fence. The farm is offering a $5,000 reward for any information leading to an arrest.
I had a friend that worked in a chicken slaughtering factory and, you know, worked in a factory farming chicken place in Oregon. And he actually operated the machine, like put the chickens in the conveyor belt in the thing that goes into the stun bath that kills them. And he said he had to quit that job because he had dreams every night that like chickens were chasing him, trying to kill him.
You know, it could be a possibility that some cops from a small town in Michigan went to California to let out some frustration. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, folks in Sturgis and Sundance, listen to the first hour, freedomfiends.com. All right, next up.
Hey, that sounded kind of like, why don't you really give a quick recap of what you talked about in the first hour about the chickens?
Okay.
The headline.
In the first hour, a couple was arrested for owning chickens because the city decided that people could not own chickens on their own property because exercising property rights is something that free people do.
Good, because keep in mind that Sundance, Wyoming probably has worse internet than Casper, Wyoming. They probably can't go listen to the first hour. And I'm in Casper, and I had to get a second internet line to do this show, so I know. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
He who controls the cards controls the radio.
It's not time for Cards Against Humanity yet, though, is it?
No, it's not. Hey, your internet's so bad you have to have two internets in Casper.
Yeah, well, you have Obamacare.
Oh.
I don't. Yeah. I'm going to pay the $600 fine. That's how much of a... I'm such a rebel, I don't have health insurance.
Yeah, but there's a difference between health insurance and actual health care. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you can actually get Obamacare compliant health insurance that is barely health insurance, and it costs a lot of money.
Yeah. And since we are speaking of fictions,
yeah,
let's go back to, is it real or is it The Onion?
Okay.
Some of these are going to be very tough.
I doubt it. I'm pretty good at this, man.
Okay. We will see.
I think I'm like 5 for 5 so far, aren't I? Or 6 for 6?
Something like that. There were a couple you weren't certain on, and you just happened to guess correctly.
No. I knew.
Okay. Well, the proof is going to be in the pudding. What? White House exempts Syria airstrikes from tight standards on civilian deaths.
True.
Oh, my God. You are good.
I don't know the news. I don't pay attention to the news. I just know how these people work.
And that is from Yahoo News. A White House statement to Yahoo News confirming the looser policy came in response to questions about reports that as many as a dozen civilians, including women and young children, were killed when a Tomahawk missile struck the village of Kafr Darian.
Yeah,
I think
it's Obama is answering the right wingers who want to go back to when America's good and applying the Vietnam era ideology of kill them all and let God sort them out.
And he's also holding off on the Hiroshima and Nagasaki because he might need that to really win their support if he's in a pinch.
Yeah.
Anyway, the village has been described by Syrian rebel commanders as a reported stronghold of the al-Qaeda-linked Nusra Front, where U.S. officials believe members of the so-called Khorasan group were plotting attacks against international aircraft.
I still say Khorasan group sounds like a Wall Street, like, financial advisory and investment company.
It sounds like a city planet from Star Wars.
The Khorasan group.
Yeah. But at a briefing for members and staffers of the House Foreign Affairs Committee late last week, Syrian rebel commanders described women and children being hauled from the rubble after an errant cruise missile destroyed a home for displaced civilians. Well, I bet they're really displaced now. Images of badly injured children also appeared on YouTube, helping to fuel anti-U.S. protests in a number of Syrian villages last week. If you're seeing women and children, and men for that matter, because all human life is human life, if you're seeing these people pulled out of the rubble and this is a deliberate act, do you really, really, really think they hate us for the freedoms that don't really exist anymore?
I think it's part of the plan to hold on to the tax cattle, you know, along with the lines of making it cost more money to leave the country or renounce your citizenship or higher taxes upon, you know, the leaving town tax. I think what the plan is to make the world hate Americans so much that nobody can expat because you'll get beat up on the street when they find out you used to live in America.
Yeah, and when you have to pay to get out and then you have to also surrender a certain amount of your wealth to get out, that's another form of the Fugitive Slave Act.
Yep.
All right, next one. Men only. Iceland to lead conference on gender equality. No women invited.
Say it again.
Men only. Iceland to lead conference on gender equality. No women invited.
I thought I misheard you and thought you said ISIS, and I was going to say that sounds true. Yeah, I think that's probably real.
It is. It's from Russia Today.
I'm like 9-9 now, man.
Yeah, the headline of that story is the only part worth mentioning. Okay.
Speaking of Iceland, so last night I played Freak Out the Normal. We had the Anarchy Grandpa on. We had Randy England on, who is, I love the guy dearly. He's great, but he's like so, you know, I've spent most of my life in places that would horrify him. And last night I showed him a video of one of them, this place called The Outhouse, this punk rock club in Lawrence, Kansas that I used to play at. And then I tried to freak him out by playing Cards Against Humanity against him, and it didn't freak him out at all. So I think I'm gonna have to try harder. I turned him on to Norwegian black metal this week. So next episode that Randy's on, we're gonna talk about real Norwegian black metal, and then we're also, you know, the church burners and the people who murder the band members who murder their roommates and then eat their brains and then, you know, take part of their bones from their head and make jewelry out of them. But then we're also going to talk about Death Clock, the fun side of black metal.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've met Randy, and he's versatile.
He is, man. He's going to Porkfest, too. He's already booked his hotel room.
Worms.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I put a new foam windscreen on my mic tonight. I'm really happy. It's like that new microphone smell. I dig it.
Nice. I'm pretending to be a rooster. I'm walking back and forth on the counter. I'm stealing money out of the cigar box.
at the Mexican chop shop in East LA.
Yes.
Yeah.
We got any part you want. If we don't have it, we'll get it for you.
Come back tomorrow. We'll send someone out to find it tonight. Yeah.
We'll have it by sunrise. Yeah. All right.
With enough crystal meth, you can find almost any car part overnight in LA.
Yeah. All righty. Back to is it real or is it The Onion?
I'm doing great.
Yes, you are. Okay. Iraqi Air Force accidentally delivers food and ammunition to ISIS militants.
I'd believe that.
And the answer is, you are correct.
See, the thing is, I don't need to follow the news because the news, I'm 50 years old. I followed it closely for most of my life. And there's nothing new, man. It's always just same, you know, with the mainstream news, it's always just same book, different chapter, man. I've read this book going back to Vietnam.
But what's really amazing is, these stories I'm giving you, both from The Onion and from the regular mainstream news sources, are so absolutely ridiculous that it should be hard to tell the difference between real and fake.
Yeah. There's something about the way The Onion does it, though, that I can kind of sniff it out, I think, too.
All right. I'm going to have to go to the other sites from here on out.
You know I'm lying on my bed for this whole show.
Yeah, I know.
I'm that relaxed. Well, they don't know. I'm that relaxed. You laughed really hard when I told you that, but it's like, yeah, I just take the mic off the stand. I have my headphones. My bed's, you know, I don't know, 7 feet away from where I sit and do my show. And I'm just lying here petting my cat, Charlie. It's kind of fun. I like it.
Alrighty.
It's laid back late night radio.
As the story goes, Iraqi pilots mistakenly delivered food, water, and ammunition to Islamic State militants on a recent mission that was meant to supply their own service members with the supplies, NBC News reported.
Didn't they also give them a tank?
I'm not really sure.
I saw a joke meme about that, about the cost of war, and it was like, you know, Abrams tank, $16 million. Accidentally given to ISIS by Iraqi army, you know, and then like it had the cost of bombing it and finding it and blowing it up. And then it had some money bags guy, capitalist warmonger holding up a big sack of money. And it said, endless war in the Middle East, priceless.
I think they may have acquired that tank in a Bearcat buyback program
from the Soviet Union. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, some pilots, instead of dropping these supplies over the area of the Iraqi army, threw it over the area that is controlled by ISIS fighters. Hakim al-Zamili, a member of the Iraqi parliament and a senior security official, told NBC, those soldiers were in deadly need of those supplies, but because of the wrong plans of the commanders in the Iraqi army and lack of experience of the pilots, we, in a way or another, helped ISIS fighters to kill our soldiers. Yeah, and that is why you should get behind this war, because there is so much incompetence over there. I mean, this should be the war to end all wars, not because it's a decisive victory, but because it's such a farce.
All right, you got another one?
I have one more.
All right.
Gay gun activists, growing LGBT push to support the Second Amendment.
I believe that is absolutely true.
That is, and it's from Fox News.
Is it the Pink Pistols?
Nope. 2 years ago, Chris Chang came out of nowhere to beat seasoned marksmen, police officers, and veterans to win History Channel's reality shooting competition show Top Shot. When I auditioned, I was openly gay, but I was surprised as nobody cared. They only cared how well I could shoot and represent our season, said Chang, who quit his job at Google after the show and is now an NRA news commentator and is releasing his first book, Shoot to Win. There's a stereotypical view of the gun community as anti-gay rednecks, but nothing could be further from the truth. It was interesting as a History Channel never outed me on the show, even though they had hours of footage. I asked why, and they said simply that it just wasn't relevant.
What was the guy's name?
Chris Chang.
Okay.
C-H-E-N-G.
You know what? I saw that show. I saw that season. I liked that show. And I knew that guy was gay. I could tell. I remember the guy from Google. Yep. I knew it. And then there you go, too. Like, Fox News and the NRA didn't know something was obvious to me. And Fox News is stating something as news that, like, everyone knew 3 years ago. I was talking about the Pink Pistols, the gay gun pro-gun group whose motto is armed gays don't get bashed, which I think is awesome. And then the NRA is now, you know, kind of letting the gays in, like, you know, 50 years after the rest of the world accepted them. So, yeah, it's not surprising.
Yeah, and the big thing that I get from this is nobody cared.
Yep. Okay, so, yeah, I think it's more interesting that someone quit Google to work for the NRA than that someone who's gay can shoot. I think that's the more newsy thing, is that they quit Google to work for the NRA.
Well, congratulations, Michael. You went like all 10 for 10. All.
Yeah, man.
Something like that. I'm going to have to find some tougher stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to find better mixes of absolutely ridiculous stuff.
You could, are there rules? Like, could you pick a headline from 20 years ago?
I haven't really thought about rules. I want to try and keep it current, because if I go with something from like 20 years ago, you know, it might be like radio show brags on DSL.
Yeah. And I was actually paying close attention to the news 20 years ago, so I have a better chance of guessing it then. I'd remember it. All right, so it is time for the cards. He who controls the cards controls the airwaves. We are going to play Cards Against Humanity, Libertarian version, also known as Libertarians Against Humanity. Also, currently, I believe it's known as Libertarians Against Humanity. Now, for those who don't know, Cards Against Humanity is a card game. It's more of a drinking game. There's really not a lot of skill in it. And you'll probably do better at this than I did even at the last game, because there's really no wrong answer with this, but some answers are more correct than others because they're ridiculous. The more ridiculous, generally, the better they are. My friend Jim Jesus made this deck. It's an expansion deck, and he lives in Vegas. And earlier I was interviewed by someone in Vegas, and then tonight I'm going to watch some CSI. So it's all Vegas all the time for me today. And he says, I will link this in the show notes, but he says, this is an expansion deck. Do not attempt to play it without the main deck, or you'll have a real bad time. And I just read that tonight for the first time. We've been playing this about every other night for about 10 nights. And I'm not having a bad time. So he is just wrong. The creator of this deck is wrong. So I'm going to do something I've never done. I'm going to be the pitcher and let someone else be the catcher. I don't think that's how you say it. All right. Do you have your deck up, sir?
Yes, I do. And once again, I object to the rules of I have to use their ridiculous answers. I can't use my own ridiculous answers. But
well, I'm gonna put it this way: a real deck, a regulation deck, comes with a few blank cards where you can write in your own thing. So why don't we say one out of four times you can make up your own? How's that? Will that make you feel better?
Okay, something like that.
All right.
Three out of four times I can make up my own. Okay, let's go.
Blank, trusted and used by Glenn Beck.
My roads.
Oh, Jim, I think you spelled Glenn wrong. I think there's two N's in Glenn Beck, and you should probably check that. Okay, my roads. Trusted and used by Glenn Beck. All right. At next year's Pork Fest, they're going to have blank.
A magic word you can say in court to get off scot-free.
In the long run, we're all blank.
Open carrying.
Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to blank.
Cop blocking.
Your Mises said, you're all a bunch of blank.
Government guns.
Okay, this is a hard one. It's got three blanks. Michael W. Dean's new documentary is called Blank and Blank, The Road to Blank.
Raw milk, am I being detained? True shibes.
So Michael W. Dean's new documentary is called Raw Milk and Am I Being Detained? The Road to True Shibes.
Yep.
I found out it's Shibes, not Shibes, because the dog is called a Shibu Inu, I think.
Yeah, so I think I told you that the other day.
Shibes, yeah. And for those who don't know, True Shibes is the heroic anonymous person who's as mysterious as Satoshi Nakamoto, who got taken down with a bad false DMCA demand illegally and immorally by Stefan Molyneux and his boyfriend, Mike DeMarco.
Maybe True Sheeps is Satoshi Nakamoto, because Satoshi might be – Satoshi's like Cody Wilson. He, you know, like does up plans for a 3D printed video showing that sending money now is a fraud. And then he, you know, just leaves it out there and goes off and does something else.
Wait, he said that what is a what?
That sending money now is a fraud.
What's sending money now?
Stefan Molyneux.
Oh, who said that? Cody Wilson?
No.
Oh, True Sheeps. Yeah.
Satoshi.
True Sheeps has disappeared, man.
Well, you only think that it has. They have.
He has, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
True Sheeps is Satoshi, but anyway.
Well, okay, there is a rumor that True Sheeps is Jim Jesus, but Jim denies it.
Okay.
Yep. But I think I started that rumor by accident because I thought that because Jim Jesus did a video called the Stefan Molyneux Challenge where he said, if you can find anywhere, you know, because Molyneux alleged that True Sheebs was outing personal information. That was part of their takedown notice. And that's not true. That was some other channel that they took down also at the same time. And they just lied about it. Jim Jesus did a video called the Stefan Molyneux Challenge where he said, if anybody can find the place in a True Sheebs uploaded video where somebody is outed, a listener or caller is outed, I will take down every anti-Molyneux video I've ever done and will publicly apologize to Stefan Molyneux. Now, I didn't know at the time that Jim Jesus also made anti-Molyneux videos, so I just assumed he was True Sheeps. And I had him on the show one night I wasn't on. It was when I was having internet problems and Derek J was on. And I called Derek J up and said, hey, man, I got True Sheeps. True Sheeps is going to do an interview. You want to put him on? And he's like, absolutely. And they put Jim Jesus on. And like, you know, 20 minutes into the interview, Derek was like, so, you know, how'd you come up with the name True Sheeps? And Jim's like, that's not me. That's someone else. But it was still an interesting interview. And that's kind of how I met Jim Jesus. So, yeah.
Alrighty. Let's get back to the game.
Yeah, let's. Go on. Okay. Oh, I forgot. I'm pitching.
Yeah, you're pitching.
I would join the Free State Project, but New Hampshire has too much.
Ayn Rand.
All right. We'll be back for the redemption in the third act after this trip to the free market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Quiero un abogato. Quiero un abogato is what the chicken says in East LA in the chop shop, in the meth-fueled chop shop that is the only place in LA to buy parts for a 1966 Plymouth Barracuda. Yeah.
Interesting things. So, I didn't know roosters could talk. But so anyway.
Do you have any burning desires of stuff you got to get out, or do you want to go on with Cards Against Humanity?
Let's go with Cards Against Humanity.
All right, here we go. A post-scarcity utopia could be achieved now that we have...
an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins.
That's Dobby, yeah.
Shiny badges, bro, shiny badges.
I might have helped write three or four of these 200 cards. I think there should be a card. What was the card I said there should be during the break?
Oh, gosh.
It was something that would be such an inside joke, it would only be relevant to people who've listened to this episode, but it was pretty good.
Oh, it was about the rooster walking around on the counter.
Oh, yeah, it would be a response card, and it would be a rooster walking on the counter of an East LA chop shop. That's it.
Hey, vato, yo quiero un abogato.
Okay, I think the salon thing, and this is me talking to one person, talking to Jim Jesus, I think it should be according to a salon.com article. It would make more sense, or unless you kids all call that salon. I don't know, but here we go. According to a salon article, libertarianism will eventually devolve into blank.
Moving to New Hampshire only to find out they still have a government.
I hate it when that happens.
Ouch.
Okay, don't blank me, bro.
Hmm. Ooh, that's a tough one. Let me scroll and troll. Neo-Confederate me, bro.
Adam Kokesh was most recently arrested for blank.
The non-aggression principle.
I think he was, actually.
That is a possibility.
The Ethics of Liberty by Murray Rothbard says, quote, the law may not forbid blank.
Going mega viral.
The Ethics of Liberty by Murray Rothbard says the law may not forbid going mega viral. There you go. I think that really, like, you know, I'm sure that going mega viral is illegal in North Korea, but it probably doesn't need to be because most people in North Korea literally don't know the internet exists.
I'm sure they have some black market internet. I bet they got a guy that's selling internet out of the inside of his coat.
I don't know, because it's not something you can really carry, but I know that, like, getting a cell phone in North Korea is about like getting a gun in California, and maybe a little harder to get one legally.
No, you just go to a chop shop in East LA and talk to the rooster.
Okay, libertarians have to recognize that their ideology will never be accepted by blank.
By thinking the invisible hand is actually Jesus.
That one's funny, man. Okay. Hi, I'm Penn. I can't say that one on the radio. Okay. I think Jim needs more call cards. Although maybe I'm not on. Maybe that's what he means by if you play this without the main deck or expansion decks, you'll have a bad time because I'm kind of running out of them here. But in his most recent video, Stefan Molyneux explains the truth about blank.
I'm going to go with a blank card. No. Government guns. That was weak, I know. Okay, rolling blunts on a copy of The Socialist Worker.
Okay. In his most recent video, Stefan Molyneux explains the truth about rolling blunts on a copy of The Socialist Worker. All right. This one has two blanks. Anarcho blank? That sounds an awful lot like blank.
Anarcho free rider problem? That sounds an awful lot like the shoulder thing that goes up.
Prax Girl did a video explaining the concept of marginal utility using blank as an example.
A bunch of socialists.
Blank via the blockchain.
Buying freeze-dried food in bulk for the impending economic collapse.
Via the blockchain. You could probably do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard an ad. I think Brian Micon is advertising it. It's actually a freeze-dried food called Soylent. You ever heard of that?
Yes, I have. On the interview that you did earlier, which people can hear at freedomfiends.com.
If they live somewhere that has better internet than Casper, Wyoming. Yeah.
Your internet's so bad, you need two of them.
Yeah, well, you have Obamacare.
Ouch.
Okay, man, it's been a great show. Thank you, Lusander Fiend.
Based on that last comment, I did not enjoy being had.
Yeah, you did. I've decided did. That you did.
Okay.
I'm the Libertarian Central Planner.
Wimes. And the market will provide.
We'll be back tomorrow in a best of show, and we'll be back Saturday, daytime, 11 a.m. Mountain Time, on The Fiends.